starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money Markets podcast for this Thursday, the 19th of November 2025. Later we'll take a close look at the wages data out of the Bureau to find out what it means for inflation and interest rates. But first to the Australian share market, which fell today, the S&P ASX 200 down by 0.25% to 8,447. That is a near six-month low. Seven of 11 sectors were lower today, financial stocks leading the losses, along with information technology and industrial. Some did well, materials and energy climbing today. To tell us more of the day's market action, including a preview of NVIDIA's result, which will be closely watched later tonight, I spoke with Matthew Sherwood, the head of investment strategy at Perpetual. Matt, so the market's fairly flat today, but the ASX 200 is down 6% over the past month after hitting a record high in mid-October. So what's driving this turn in investor sentiment, and is it something that concerns you?
Well, the US has been, you know, central to the recent swings we have seen in domestic sentiment. And a 6% pullback in a market which hasn't had very good returns this year always is a concern. And what's really been happening is that optimistic expectations around the US Fed and about what AI can deliver have kind of collided, you know, drove the market up, and now it's colliding with the associated rich valuations. So, you know, a lot of good news was priced in, and investors are, I would say, tempering that optimism and are finally seriously questioning to what extent can the key nine US tech firms monetize this AI revolution, and most importantly, deliver, you know, decent returns on the $1 trillion worth investments, you know, that they are currently undertaking.
Let's break down the AI and Fed moves in a moment. But first, as you touched on, the Australian share market has underperformed this year. What seems to be the challenge?
Well, on a market-wide basis, the fundamentals for the Australian share market have been questionable for some time. So since the end of 2022, earnings growth here has declined by 15%, and that's relative to earnings growth of around 20% for return leaders such as the US and Japan. And at the same time, the Australian share market is among the most expensive in the world. So you're paying nearly the highest price for the worst earnings performance. So quite honestly, there's just better opportunities elsewhere. And there doesn't seem to be much hope on the horizon either, with the economy, I think, stuck in the slow lane for the next decade, given what can only be described as our incredibly lackluster productivity performance.
Okay, you've been saying for a while that the Fed in the US doesn't need to cut rates as much as they think. Why is that? And what to extent do you believe the government shutdown, that 43 government shutdown and lack of economic data will influence their December meeting?
Yeah, the reason I think the Fed just didn't need to cut rates as much as what they've been guiding the market is simply the rates have not been that restrictive to begin with. So from the pandemic to the rate increase peak, they increased rates 5.25%, which was quite large for a tightening cycle. But, you know, to me, the US economy in the 2 years and 3 years after those rate hikes has still been fantastically strong. So that tells me that it hasn't been overly restrictive. And as such, it's not putting much of a clamp on the US economy. And as a result, you know, the FOMC is coming to this December meeting where, quite honestly, uncertainty reigns supreme. And the key data points for any FOMC meeting is what's in their charter, and that is the outlook for unemployment and for inflation. But with the shutdown, there's a lot of uncertainty, not only about the timeliness of the data, but also about its quality. So we look at things, and on net, the US labor market looks soft, but it's not rapidly deteriorating. So again, I don't think there's any need to cut rates. And US core inflation is 3% and rising. So really, the short-term test for the committee, which is clearly split, is to what extent, to how much courage do they have to lower rates, despite fairly dubious data and the fact that some of it is somewhat old. Markets think it's about a 50-50 coin toss, and that doesn't seem too wrong, but I think the key is really going to be their guidance about future rate cuts in 2026, which is contained in their statement of economic projections.
In the more immediate term, is it fair to say that the market's really looking to the NVIDIA result, the quarterly result, which is coming up overnight? Given there's so much talk about this AI bubble, these AI stocks are really the main reason why we've seen share markets in the US and in many parts of the world really rise. After we see these numbers, could it really be a market turning point?
Well, it certainly has the potential to be because, these nine tech stocks have just been market darlings. They have been at the center of the AI revolution. They have delivered very good earnings growth on the whole. Every company's as good as its last earnings result. So whether it turns into a market headwind or a tailwind really will depend on how they go relative to three things: revenue growth, cost containment, and most importantly, their company guidance about, future profits. And I would argue for the stock to recover its recent decline and begin to rally again, they're going to have to beat all three estimates fairly handsomely. So it certainly has the potential to be a circuit breaker for the downtrend, but by the same token, it might also amplify it if the results disappoint investors.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, in the end, I think there's been a broadening out of market leadership, and I think, this year, and I think that's going to be a key theme in 2026. So we tend to think the US is going to be around the median returning market, a bit less than what we saw, for example, last year and the year before. And we just think there's better opportunities in markets such as the UK, and Europe. But I think really it's going to be a bumpy ride. So just as returns are important for portfolios, so is risk management. We've spoken to our clients about the importance of having more than bonds in your portfolio to manage risk, because there's a chance that, like in 2018 and 2022, bonds, if our view is right, that the US economy accelerates in the second half of this year, that could see bond yields rise as the Fed moves on hold, inflation is elevated. And if that's the case, you might get fairly significant spikes in volatility. So you want to hold assets in your portfolios just beyond government bonds. And we're looking there for European equities to diversify valuation risk, but also put option protection potentially to mitigate tail risks, which sometimes can get sparked over very short periods of time.
That's Matt Sherwood there from Perpetual.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go from the markets to the economy, where the Bureau of Statistics said the wage price index rose 0.8% in the September quarter, which means it remained at an annual rate of 3.4%. Remember, headline inflation is at 3.2. But inflation did soar as the economy emerged from the pandemic, which meant real wages went backwards for some time there because inflation was growing faster than wages. So while it's a trend which has now reversed, there is an element of catch up there. Still, what does it say about the labour market, inflation, and what does it mean for the Reserve Bank? I spoke to Paula Godsby, senior economist at EY. Paula, firstly, how would you describe the level of wages growth in Australia and what does it say about the jobs market?
So wages growth remains relatively tame amidst a tight labour market still. Today's wage price index rose 0.8% in the September quarter and by 3.4% over the year. Now, this was steady compared to the June quarter read and it was in line with market expectations, so there was no surprises there. But in terms of labour market conditions, they still remain pretty robust despite the slowing in employment growth that we've seen. The unemployment rate is still sitting close to a record low of 4.3% for October, and the employment to population ratio and participation rate remain pretty high as well. So conditions in the jobs market still look to be a little tight as we see job vacancies still remain pretty elevated and firms continue to report difficulties in finding suitable labour.
What about the difference between public and private sector pay? And what does it say about the type of jobs that's driving growth?
Yeah. So public sector wages have been growing at a faster pace compared to the private sector for now the last three quarters. So public wages ticked up to 3.8% in annual terms, and that compares to private sector wages, which moderated to about 3.2% in annual terms for September. Now, the rise in public sector wages, it was mainly driven by state government pay rises, and that's because we saw a number of state-based enterprise agreements being implemented across the country. We have seen significant employment growth in the non-market sector for the past few years, although more recently we are seeing the market sector starting to increase their share of employment growth, which is definitely positive moving forward. Employment has been very strong in the healthcare and social assistance sector, which is no surprise really given the ageing population and the strong spend that we're seeing by state and federal governments in these areas.
Okay, I think the key question now is how do you think the RBA will take this data and the implication for interest rates as it, I guess, seeks for a clearer indication of inflation and where the jobs market is going?
So today's result means the Reserve Bank's November wage price index forecast of 3.4% at the end of the year is likely to be met. This will provide some inflation comfort to the Reserve Bank, although ongoing tightness in the labour market that I spoke about before, coupled with weak labour productivity growth, could keep unit labour costs elevated. They're already relatively elevated, and that therefore threatens future inflation. As the economy looks to be close to supply capacity, we remain of the view that Reserve Bank cannot cut the cash rate much further, if at all, without generating inflation. I think the Reserve Bank will be keen to see the new monthly comprehensive CPI read out next week from the ABS, along with that national accounts data read that we've got in 2 weeks as well. And that's all ahead of their next Reserve Bank board meeting on the 9th of December.
And I've been keeping an eye on the parliamentary committee earlier today where we're hearing from bank CEOs, right? And they're being constantly thrown questions about productivity. We often hear about how productivity is a problem in Australia. What does this data show?
So this data doesn't really tell us as much as we hope about productivity, but we do know that productivity growth has been lagging and it has for a while. We do get an updated read in the September quarter national accounts data in about 2 weeks. For that productivity growth and how it's tracking, but we're unlikely to see a big turnaround in productivity growth. I think the simple point to make here is that if productivity was going up, then wages could be higher without causing inflation. So essentially when productivity is low, there's less economic output per worker, and this limits a firm's ability to increase pay as well.
That's Paula Gadsby there from EY, and she wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that bell, which is a subscribe button, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.